I'm tired of taking my truck to the car wash because it never gets clean and it always has water spots.
You need to go to the carpool on Route 50 in Easton.
The carpool? Let me guess. They have lifeguards?
Well, as a matter of fact, they do. The carpool offers 24-hour touch-free service, or you can use the high-tech tidal wave during the day 7 days a week. My truck loves taking a dip in the tidal wave at the carpool because the lifeguards wipe it down and clean the wheels, too.
Looks like I'm heading to the carpool on Route 50 in Easton.
When you go, ask about the Unlimited Wash Club. You can wash your car or truck every day for as little as $25 per month. The carpool's located on Route 50 in Easton and next to the Sam's Club on Route 13 in Salisbury. Like them on Facebook.
WINX St. Michael's.
We're not ready to go yet. Is there any way you can send this thing into overtime?
Yeah.
No problem.
Seven on the OTL. Welcome in week number six in the Bayside Conference. And I tell you what, another great week of high school football with our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week. We have had some real good ones this year. And last week, because of the weather, we weren't able to air Kent Island and Wicomico, and that was probably a good thing. So we keep the streak alive. We've had plenty of really good Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the weeks. And the one you heard here, Queen Anne's over Easton 26-20 in a big 2A East battle as Queen Anne's improves to 5-1. Easton drops to 4-2 on the season. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus Easton Inn & Suites. Mike Bradley coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. And your scoreboard updates brought to you by Brent Moy Therapy Associates, providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. Now, these 2A matchups, these 2A East matchups tonight, major playoff implications. And that's the great thing this year is so many teams in the 2A East vying for playoff spots that going back to week one, when we had North Carolina and Easton, every game counted. It's much like the college football playoff, where things are magnified that much more so, where each and every week counts. There is no throwaway week, and that's a great thing, and that means that you've got more teams that are competitive, that are good at the Bayside Conference, and that's something we all want. Look, there's any question about that. Now, we're doing scoreboard watching. We've been doing scoreboard watching here in the studio, the Edge Training Academy Studios, for weeks now. I mean, we're week six, but I've been pretty much checking out scores from the Western Shore for the past 3 weeks. And one of those teams I've been watching is Elkton, a team that Kent Island defeated quite soundly, taking advantage of Elkton mistakes and winning at a non-conference affair a few weeks back in Stevensville. They won tonight, and I'm trying to do the math as best I can, but with the Easton loss, Elkton will move in to at least the four seed in the 2A East when the playoff numbers come out, or the points come out, I should say, on Tuesday from the, let me get this correct, the MPSSAA. There we go. Just want to make sure I have my S's and A's. So we're doing a lot of math here in the studio. And the other thing that I'm calculating, one of the other scores tonight, the 2A East, a big matchup, North Carolina defeating Parkside soundly, 42-10. Caroline now 5-1. Parkside drops to 3-3. And Parkside, for all intents and purposes, as David Inslee pointed out on Twitter tonight, if Parkside going in, if they don't win, they're going to have a tough time getting into the playoffs. They're going to need a lot to happen, including them having to beat Kent Island later in the year. I just don't think it's in the cards for them, unfortunately. We'll see. A lot of things have to happen. And there are still some more games. Obviously, Queen Anne's and Kent Island play at the end of the year. You've got North Carolina having to play Queen Anne's. You need a lot of things to break, though, between now and then. But a big one for North Carolina. The question is, though, points-wise, as it stands now, if you add up bonus points, as of now, North Carolina would have like a one-point advantage over Elkton. But we have to see. When all is said and done with all the calculations, that's not official. Whether or not North Carolina could possibly drop to a four seed, And even with the win in Elkton bumping up to the 3 seed, it'll be close. Elkton defeating Hartford Tech, who's now 2-4, and they're really not in the conversation now. They were a couple of weeks ago, but not now. Also, in the 1A East, following Bow Matter and Perryville, a matchup tonight, Bow Matter eking that one out 19-14. By the way, Elkton blew out Hartford Tech, and I've got to find the score here. But see, this is good stuff. I mean, I haven't even gone through our entire Bayside scoreboard update yet because we're entrenched in this. It was Elkton over Hartford Tech 55-21. It was Bow Matter over Perryville 19-14. So this is scoreboard watching at its best. But in that one, Kent County, a winner tonight. We'll get to that game in just a second. But Kent County certainly helps themselves with the Perryville loss. But Colonel Richardson tonight, a chance at taking advantage of the Perryville loss, and that doesn't happen for him. All right, so let's go down the rest of the Brett Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard. Let's start off with the team that remains undefeated in the Bayside, and that would be the Kent Island Buccaneers, 35-0 winners over J.M. Bennett, 6-0 in the year, J.M. Bennett dropping to 3-3. Other scores tonight, Cambridge South Dorchester improving to 5-1, 41-6 winners over Colonel Richardson, who drops to 2-4. Still in it in the 1A East because there's only 7 teams. It's tight. Perryville lost tonight, but they don't gain any points there. Kent County, though, they helped themselves out. 39-20 winners over Stephen Decatur. Now, yes, it's a 3A team, so they'll get some additional points, but Decatur's winless, so no bonus points. That's what hurts them. So it's certainly a plus, obviously, in getting some extra points playing a 3A, but no bonus points. That's what hurts. But right now, Kent County, though, controlling all they control, and that's themselves, and they win tonight. So Kent County improves to 3-3. Stephen Decatur dropping to 0-6. We finally got a score in the Snow Hill, or at least I had it here a second ago. Snow Hill and Nandua from the Eastern Shore of Virginia, and Nandua getting it done, 53-14 the final. So Snow Hill drops to 0-6, so two winless teams in the Bayside there. Tomorrow, Wicomico hosts Washington in what should be a good matchup at County Stadium in Salisbury at noon. But there's your Brett Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard. So we know Kent Island will remain at the 1 seed, the 2A East, when the numbers come out. Queen Anne's win tonight. Haven't done the math on that one yet. When you take a look, let's see, Queen Anne's came in with 33 points, tied with North Carolina and Easton. So obviously a huge game. So they'll gain 6 points to make it 39, and then the bonus points from Easton would make it 47. So that would and should keep them in the second seed there. Should keep them in the second seed in the 2A East. The question's going to be what happens with North Carolina and Elkton, but Easton now will be on the outside looking in. Still plenty of time, though, to get in it, but they're on the outside looking in now. That's why this loss was huge, but still some games to go, 4 to be exact. So we'll find out. Makes things quite interesting, to say the least. So that's where things stand right now. 9:54 of the OTL. We'll take a timeout, and we're going to go around the Bayside and catch up with as many coaches as possible tonight right here at 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. A really good game tonight. Again, our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, Queen Anne's over Easton, 26-20. And if this is any indication of how the rest of the season's going to go with games and playoffs as well, man, we are in for a real treat. All right, back next with more. It's the OTL, Maryland's only high school football show on game night right here at 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
The Edge Training Academy is your one-stop shop for all your training goals. Whether you're looking to improve the way you feel, to improving your on-field performance, the Edge Training Academy is the place for you. What can the Edge do for you? Here are what some of our clients are saying.
The Edge has definitely made me a stronger, faster, and smarter athlete.
Developed me into an athlete like no other.
It's just created monumental change in not only my physical play, but my attitude as well.
The Edge Training Academy is located at 220 Law Canoe Circle in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park in Stevensville. For more information, check us out online at theedgetrainingacademy.com or call us at 443-249-3133.
On your own, you have limits, and Coach Willie and his staff push you well beyond those to let you reach new heights that you didn't even know you were capable of.
The Edge Training Academy, where passion meets performance.
When you have friends, business associates, or family visiting, you want them to stay at the best hotel. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites is now the number one rated hotel in Easton, according to TripAdvisor. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites also received the Distinguished Best Western Director's Award for excellent quality assurance. Plush accommodations, a friendly staff, and breakfast every morning awaits. To make a reservation, call 410-822-7100 or go to bestwesterneaston.com.
Back to more of Overtime Live, Maryland's only high school football sports show on game night, here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 9:56 on the OTL. Right out to the coaches' line we go. And head coach James McCormick of the North Carolina Bulldogs, winners tonight over Parkside by a final score of 42-10. North Carolina 5-1 on the year. Parkside drops to 3-3. And coach, I don't know if you just heard my open a few minutes ago, but I tell you, I've been doing as many calculations as possible, but lots of scoreboard watching with a tight 2A East, you know, watching a team like Elkton on the Western Shore, etc. It's exciting, and we really have been in playoff mode since about week two or three. I know for you, going back to week one with that big matchup against Easton, every game counts.
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying not to think about all the points and what ifs and all that stuff yet. We're still a couple weeks away, you know, from really getting down to it. But it's one of those things where you just got to kind of keep grinding and hope things are going to work your way and get some wins and get a chance at the end of the season to do something.
Well, as I was going through the numbers, and nothing's official yet, but the one issue is, you know, we talk about teams controlling their own destiny, just win, that's all you could do, and that's true. But as you know, with the bonus point situation, you could win a game and drop, and that actually may be the case where you guys may go from a third seed to a fourth seed, and Elkton may leap you with the numbers that come out Tuesday. We'll have to see. Nothing's official yet. But, you know, you get a win, and it's like, wait a minute. How do we get penalized? But that said, though, you still stay in the top four, and that, at the end of the day, is what matters the most, just giving yourself a chance by getting into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah, all you want to do is get a seat at the table. And once you get a seat at the table, what you do with it is going to be up to you. So, hopefully we'll win some more games here. You know, obviously got four more games. It's a lot of work to do. But, we keep working, keep grinding, and doing our thing. You know, hopefully we'll get lucky and have a chance.
Now, you take on a Parkside squad that I thought matched up very well, a big physical team. They love to run the football. And, in fact, on their first possession, they're able to get down and kick a field goal. And I certainly in no way think that your players thought it was going to be an easy game, because I know Parkside's played you guys so tough. But if anybody did need a wake-up call, even if it was the last guy on the squad, they got it on that first drive.
Oh, yeah. It's, Parkside, once they get in the playoffs, they want to do some good things. And they're working. They get some big physical kids, and they were coming up here hungry and trying to get a win. And, fortunately, we didn't get distracted with all the homework, the homecoming distractions and all that sometimes. Sometimes homecoming helps you, sometimes it hurts you. But I thought our kids did a real good job of focusing all week and taking care of business, and it showed up tonight.
Well, that was one of the great traits of the team that you had last year, was they remained focused, and they truly did take it week to week, and they took nothing for granted, because they hearkened back to the memory of going 7-3 a year or two before that and not making the playoffs. So they savored every week and made the most of it. But tonight you had a Parkside team coming in that, for all intents and purposes, this was a championship playoff game for them, because with the loss tonight, Parkside's going to need to beat Kent Island later in the year, and they're going to need a lot of things to happen in order to get in. So they put themselves in a really tough spot, a very slim margin of them getting in the playoffs at this point, and then likely they're going to have to win out. So you knew you were going to get their very best and maybe then some.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we knew this was a big game for them, keeping their hopes alive. And, we knew that they wanted a shot at us, and they wanted to try and, get a little piece. But, it's like I said, our kids kept focused, and I thought we had a pretty good game plan, and our kids went out and played well and did what they needed to do.
The issue the Parkside's had the last couple of years is defense especially, although obviously you guys did a good job of shutting down their offense tonight. But obviously you got what you needed out of the offensive line, and David Bailey, another big game. In fact, a fake punt run as well. And coach, I mean, you used him in the Wildcat, now a fake punt run. I guess you're wanting to put that out there so teams have to plan for this, because otherwise they'd say, why don't you just wait until you need it? But then that also makes teams have to plan for more and more each week, doesn't it?
Well, it makes teams plan for a little bit more, and it's something that we've been working on really since camp, and sooner or later we got to use them and practice it and get better at it. And you don't get the same kind of look out of those situations when you're in practice as you do in a game. So, you know, we thought it was a good change of pace. We wanted to get him on the field, you know, with getting the direct snap to him. And I think it was a nice little change for us.
What worked offensively and defensively for you guys tonight to come out the winner?
The grind. You know, that was our thing all week. We told the kids, look, just grind. You know, it's not about being fancy. It's not about looking pretty. It's just about going out and working and grinding. And, you know, so that was kind of our thing for the week. And I think our kids did a real good job of that. You know, we just kept grinding, kept doing the fundamentals, kept doing all the things that we preach. And, you know, our kids have success and they're comfortable with that. And that's what they do.
Were you able to stay away from any turnovers tonight, Coach? Because I know that's always key.
Yeah, we did. We played a pretty clean game. We didn't have any turnovers. Our quarterback, Cody Pepper, made a real nice run on, I think, a third down and squared his shoulders up, put his shoulders down and got a first down for us. I think the ball ended up on the ground, but it squirted out of bounds, so we were pretty good with that. But he made a nice play to pick up the first down, so we were happy.
Well, talking about playing clean games, I mean, you're at the point in the season now where you want to have you want to get to the point where you're playing as clean a game, obviously, as possible here, trying to finish the season strong. And I guess after week six now, we're going to be in the home stretch beginning week seven.
Yeah, it's this is the point where you really got to start turning things on and execute and keep getting better and doing all the things that you need to do to hopefully have a little bit of success at the end of the year and after. So we're working at it, we're getting better, and I think we're going to keep working.
Yeah. And Parkside, three backs back there, and of course a big offensive line. But again, you match up quite well. I mean, it's a good matchup, and you guys just able to get the better there. But was it a matter of making sure that you forced those runs to the inside, that they didn't get outside at all?
Yeah, well, we know they got a couple backs that can get it and like the bounce and get to those edges pretty well. And that caused us some problems in the first half. We were in a hard time with that. But, our kids made some adjustments and they figured it out. And, you know, part of that was just being a little bit more physical and holding that edge. And, you know, I thought they did that very well throughout the game and definitely much better in the second half.
You referenced this week being homecoming. But given what we talked about at the open with the playoff situation, how tight things are in the 2A East, I would think that, and you said it wasn't a distraction, I would think that, yeah, the kids have plenty to focus on knowing how big a game this was for Parkside and for you guys as well. Because think about it, you win, maybe you fall to a 4 seed. Well, if you had lost, who knows what the implications could have been.
Yeah, well, we don't like to think about those implications.
<That's right. laughs> I gotcha.
You know, it's homecoming. We told the kids all week they worked really hard. You know, they commit themselves to the weight room and working hard at practice and doing all the things that they need to be successful. And we knew we were going to have a big crowd. It was going to be a great atmosphere, you know, with all the homecoming hoopla. And I said, look, you guys have earned the right to enjoy this. Go out and play your tails off and enjoy it and have fun with it.
Yeah, well, and that's the important thing, too. I know we get caught up sometimes in the competitiveness and the hard work and all that. It's all good stuff as well, but certainly you want to take at least a little bit to enjoy what you've done, because obviously, you know, not only the coaches but the players, you guys put in a lot of time and hours and sacrifice a lot. So having a little time to enjoy it, most certainly worth it. Coach, who do you guys have next week?
Kent County.
Okay, Kent County. Is that game at home or away?
It's at Kent County.
Okay.
So we'll start looking at some film on them and breaking some things down, probably starting tomorrow. But, you know, I know they get some athletes. They get the Marquand Green kid and a couple others that are pretty good. So we're going to have our hands full.
Yeah, you don't know who's going to play quarterback for them. Tyson Johnson or Marquand Green? They got Marquand Green doing a bunch of different things. But, yeah, they won tonight over Stephen Decatur, 39-20 the final, although it was 13-13 at the half in that one. But that always a tough task in keeping Marquand Green down, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. The kid's a stud athlete. And, you know, we're going to have to do our homework and make sure we're on top of it.
Well, Coach, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the win, and we will talk next Friday.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, take care. That's head coach James McCormick of the North Carolina Bulldogs joining us on the coach's line. And like I said, you know, coaches and being a former one, all you could do is preach, you know, win, you control your own destiny. But as I mentioned, with the bonus points, et cetera, sometimes, even with a win, it doesn't always ensure that you're not at least going to drop down a seat or two, just based on how competitive it is and who the other teams competing for the playoffs in your region, who they play, and their bonus points, et cetera. All right, so there we go. Head coach James McCormick of North Carolina. You know, with Parkside, we'll try to catch up with head coach Brendan Riley. I know disappointing for the Rams. That Rams team, I thought, certainly was the team that had the best shot out of the South to potentially pull off an upset of a win over a North team, whether it be Queen Anne's or Kent Island or North Carolina. Best chance. Not saying it was going to happen, but the best chance. And I know those kids and coaches have to be hurting right now. Yeah, there's still games to be played. They still have the Salisbury Championship at the South to try to win. But ultimately, playoffs is where you want to get. But I guess at this point, the goal would be improving on last year. And they have done that going, 4-6 to 5-5 to 6-4. See if they could go 7-3. But we'll try to catch up with head coach Brendan Riley in a bit. Going to stop down, come back. We'll try to catch up next with Kent Island head coach Damian Ferragamo as the Bucks, the lone remaining undefeated team in the Bayside. We'll try to catch up with coach next. Keep it here.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's Easton, Maryland's only high school football show on game night, is Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx-FM.
Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8040.
Turn to Chesapeake College and discover the Eastern Shore's best programs for today's hottest healthcare careers. Chesapeake's state-of-the-art facilities and world-renowned faculty are revolutionizing the healthcare profession. From nurses and paramedics to phlebotomists and pharmacy technicians, Chesapeake graduates cure and care for our community. Fall classes begin August 22nd. Enroll today. Visit chesapeake.edu or call 410-822-5400. That's 410-822-5400. Your time, your place. Chesapeake College.
The games are over, the lights are off, and the crowds have gone home. But we are just getting started. It's time to analyze the games, hear from the coaches, and look ahead to next week in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
And thank you, Harry, at 10:08 the time. Mike Bradley coming to you live from the Edge Trading Academy Studios. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. And out to the coaches' line we go. And joining us from the Kent Island Buccaneers, who remain perfect on the season at 6-0 as winners tonight over J.M. Bennett on the road at Salisbury, 35-0, head coach Damian Ferragamo. And coach, thanks for joining us once again. Congratulations as you remain the lone undefeated team in the Bayside. And I know it's one week at a time. Had a business trip to Salisbury against a 3-2 Bennett team. And fill us in on what was successful for you tonight. I know in the first quarter, though, no score in this game. So a defensive game to start off.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was a struggle there in the first quarter. Our defense played lights out the entire time, and their defense, they had a good scheme. We had a lot of trouble against them, and it took us a while to break through.
And coach, I know that the last couple of weeks with your offense, having beaten Wicomico and Stephen Decatur, you guys started to get on track. But I felt like Bennett was going to be at least a step up, maybe not the upper tier of Bayside teams, but a step up for your offense. As you talked about struggling through the first quarter, but the good news is, hey, okay, you feel them out, you make adjustments, and obviously as the game went on, it started to click for you.
Oh yeah, we definitely had some more success as the game went on. Maybe they wore down a little bit. I'm not sure. But, offensively, we're going to play a lot better than we did today if we want to continue the success we've had so far.
Coach, I know you've had injuries. You've rotated a lot of different guys on your offensive line. Is that line still a fluid situation, or are you at the point where it's solidified here coming into week six?
Well, the guys who played this week are the guys who played last week, the starters. So, it's starting to solidify. But we've got a lot of guys who are kind of interchangeable there. So, it's definitely an open competition. If somebody wants to reach up and grab a spot and, show some practice, and they're the ones who should be in there, they'd be in there.
So I guess when it comes down to philosophy on that, coach, certainly there's a lot to be said for competition that brings out the best in everybody. But in terms of, from a head coaching standpoint, in terms of offensive linemen gelling together and cohesion, that doesn't concern you in terms of mixing and matching guys in and out? Or if one guy beats out another during the week, that's not an issue? You're not concerned about that?
Well, I'm concerned about it, but I think more importantly is finding people who are going to be aggressive and be violent when they're blocking. And, I think that takes precedent over any kind of, you know, cohesiveness the offensive line would have. I don't think we don't do a lot of like zone blocking stuff where they have to get used to working with the guy next to him. So we just need people who are going to put their hand on the ground and be aggressive.
Hey, Coach, let me ask you about that, because you've been very forthright this year in the media about the offensive line and the running game and trying to get that on track, et cetera. Is there a reason this year why things have been a little bit different from years past? Because I don't remember hearing those kind of quotes about, you know, we need to be more aggressive, we need to be more downhill and more physical and more violent. You hadn't heard that before from the Kent Island program.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think we're playing at the speed that we're capable of playing to, and that's what we're working to each week trying to get there. But what's different about this year, I'm not very sure. We were very fortunate to have some extremely good offensive linemen last year, kind of guys who you don't see in high school a lot. You know, we were humongous. But I mean, I'm not saying our offensive line, I'm not talking them down at all. We just need to play up to our potential. We know that they have more in them. We know that our offense has more in them, and we just need to reach that full potential.
No, I understand where you're coming from. We're talking with Kent Island head coach Damian Ferragamo on the coaches line. And this game, an interesting start. So, Bert Schreckengast with a 35-yard field goal puts you up 3-0 in the second quarter after a scoreless first quarter. Then a fourth down snap sails over the punter, Steven Sabo, for J.M. Bennett. So you're up 5-0. And then Bennett backed up again, and another bad snap leads to another safety. So you get to 7-0, but in the most unconventional of ways. But obviously, you'll take it.
Oh yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that combination before. But especially the way we were struggling offensively, we'll take points any way we can get them.
And then later in the game, Coach, you get some touchdowns on the ground. Braden Doyle with a 41-yard touchdown run, and Austin Ryan as well. And were you sticking with the running game for the most part? Did you mix in the pass? What was the attack tonight?
Well, especially going into the second half, we wanted to make sure that we were doing what we do, you know, trying to develop that attitude and that aggressiveness in the offensive line. We were going to come out and run the football at them. So that was our approach in the second half. We did a much better job in the second half, but still, you know, a lot of room to improve.
What specifically from Bennett's scheme gave you guys trouble in the first half?
Excuse me, say that again?
What specifically from Bennett's scheme gave you guys trouble in the first half?
It's no different than anybody else does. You know, they dedicated a lot of people to the run. Mm-hmm. And, until we see it on film, we're not exactly sure. But in offensive football, you know, if one assignment is blown, it can be the end of the play, especially with the point of attack.
Sure.
So, you know, we got to look at the film and see what happens. It's never what you think it is when you're watching it live. So, I want to get on film and see it before, you know, I make any determination of what was making us struggle.
Defensively, another outstanding outing by those guys on that side of the ball. Coming in, Coach, was it just a matter of if we play our game and don't make too many mistakes, or major mistakes, that is, that we'll be fine? Or was there something specifically for Bennett's offense that you guys came into the game worried about?
Well, our defense is an extremely aggressive defense. It's a philosophy we've had for a long time. So really, we're just sticking to our philosophy. Their spread offense will provide, it has a bunch of challenges to it, having to account for all the threats that are out there. But we have kids who play as a unit out there. You know, maybe we miss the big star power defensive player we've had in the past sometimes, but all those guys play their assignments, they trust their teammates, and then play good team defense.
And, Coach, who do you guys have coming up next week?
Cambridge.
All right, in Cambridge, and that's, I should know that. That's our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week. I don't have my schedule in front of me, but that will be our game of the week. So the Vikings come to town. I believe, did you guys play them last year or 2 years ago?
No, we played them last year at their place.
That's right. Okay, and I know that was a game which you wanted the trenches. And again, I mean, that's where I know that's Kent Island football. What challenges, though, do the Vikings bring against you guys next week?
Well, we've seen a little bit of film on them just from common opponents, scouting other people, and they're kind of undersized team, but they are very very aggressive, very athletic. They're a well coached team. They are every year. I believe they may be 5-1. I don't know what happened tonight. Just another good team, another challenge in front of them.
Well, Coach, congratulations. And the lone undefeated team of the Bayside, you know, we were just talking a few minutes ago with North Carolina head coach James McCormick. And you know, ironically enough, there's a possibility that even with their win tonight, because of Elkton winning and the bonus point situation, that Elkton could take their spot and they could move from a 3 to a 4 seed with winning the football game. And, you know, you talk about controlling your own destiny, but with that point situation, sometimes you win and you get penalized for it. But with you guys having been undefeated, you certainly give yourself a cushion there, and it certainly has to help. But I certainly know the goal, though, is to go 10-0.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're in a good spot right now, but it can get real bad real soon. We got a lot of good teams coming up in front of us, so we're just going to hit the practice field again Monday and hopefully go 1-0 next week.
Coach, as always, thanks for your time. And Mark Potter will be talking to you after the game on the field next week. But best of wishes, or best of luck, I should say. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Kent Island head coach Damian Ferragamo joining us on the coaches line. And the Bucks just getting it done. And again, you know, with Kent Island, I go back to last year with the year that North Carolina had. And with the fact that the Kent County was stringing together another good year and J.M. Bennett came out of nowhere and ended up having a playoff year, they didn't talk about Kent Island much in Coach Ferragamo's first year. And that's just because it's expected that they're going to win and do well. But he came in and just quietly had an excellent year and made it to the first round of the playoffs. They lost to Elkton, a team they had beaten in the regular season. But that all said, it just came in. And it was like nothing changed. And he had been a part of the staff, but still, you know, you take over for Brian Sofonowski, who had been there a long time and turned that into an excellent program. He's done very well. But we're not talking about Kent Island. Well, that's only because it's kind of expected. So it's a compliment, certainly a compliment to the Buccaneers as they roll along. And next week, that'll be our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll take a trip around the rest of the Bayside to coaches that we haven't talked to yet. Comes your way next, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. It's the OTL at 10:18.
The Bayside Youth Football League has reached its midseason point. The Dorchester Vikings improved to 4-0 in both the 9U and 13U divisions on Saturday after posting 38-0 and 36-7 wins over South Carolina. At the 11U level, South Carolina's Mustangs evened their record to 2-2 and moved into a tie with Dorchester after beating the Vikings 13-0. There's a three-way tie for second in the 13U division after the Carolina Cougars beat Kent County 18-13. Carolina, Kent, and Talbot all sit at 2-2 behind the 4-0 Vikings. Carolina beat Kent 28-20 in 9U, while Kent took the 11U game by the score of 34-0. More Bayside Youth Football tomorrow. We'll continue to update you throughout the season with this Bayside Youth Football update on 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net.
Here's what your friends and neighbors are saying about Higginbottom Orthodontics.
The doctors and their staff are amazing, always pleasant and professional, and explain everything thoroughly to my children. It's obvious that they genuinely care about their patients.
At Higginbottom Orthodontics, we believe that every day is something to smile about. Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Higginbottom, and along with my dad, Dr. Mark Higginbottom, and my brother, Dr. Kyle Higginbottom, we invite you to choose us first for all of your orthodontic needs. We have over 50 years of experience in treating your family like our family with braces, clear braces, and Invisalign services for all ages. Schedule your free initial consultation today. Flexible payment options are available, and to find out more about our office, please visit us online at HigginbottomOrthodontics.com or call our office at 410-822-3626 and see how we can help you smile with style.
Preston Ford will be competing again this year to be one of the top 100 Ford dealers in the nation. The goal has been set, but we can't do it without you. 0% financing for 72 months has been extended on Ford's favorites. Get the built Ford Tough 2016 Ford F-150 for just $20,995. The 2017 Ford Fusion is just $18,995. Plus, all this month, you get a tie-dyed frog to support childhood cancer awareness. Don't miss the top 100 sales drive only at Preston Ford or hop online to PrestonMotor.com.
From the Queen Anne's County Lions to the Cambridge South Dorchester Vikings, we have football covered in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 10:20 on the OTL. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn & Suites. Mike Bradley coming to you live from the Edge Trading Academy studios. We'll get a look at your Pret Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard coming up in just a couple of minutes, but we want to go right back out to the coaches' line. And joining us from the Kent County Trojans and head coach Brendan Ironton. And Coach, congratulations. Win over Stephen Decatur by final score. I'm sorry. Hold on. I got my paper. 39-20 the final as Kent County improves to 3-3. Decatur drops to 0-6. And Coach, I know last week on homecoming at home, a tough loss to Easton, an excellent game. Your defense might have had one of their best games all year, but you now have to go on the road to a 3A team who's looking for that first win. I think it might have been homecoming there. I'm not sure. But a tight game in the first half of this one from a team that hadn't won yet. And talk to us about it.
It was. I thought CDK came out ready to play. We came off a little sluggish, coming off the bus. And it was definitely for those guys. And they definitely were playing to win. And we were able to play a little better ball second half and pull away a little bit.
And knowing how wide open the 1A East is, was it a little bit easier for the players to come back to practice on Monday? Or how did they take that loss on Saturday to Easton?
I don't think a loss like that ever, it's never easy. But they were able to rebound, and we're pretty beat up right now. So we got a lot of guys, especially all young guys, just reps, and there's a lot of guys got reps this week, and we're just trying to get back to healthy, I thought we had a pretty good week of practice, and just keep growing this.
And given how well the defense played against Easton on Saturday, Decatur takes the ball down the field and was able to kick a field goal in that one. And at one point, they're up 10-6. And I guess that had to be a little disheartening because, you see your defense taking steps forward and then they take a step back like that. But obviously, they settled down later in the game, which a tip of the cap to them for doing so.
Well, I mean, honestly, we gave them a couple spots. They had really good field position as well. We went for it on fourth down. We were short. And the opening kickoff, we just had a mistake on the kick. And, so they had some really good spots early on. And there was a couple times that we came up with some key turnovers and key stops. So I thought overall our first defense played pretty well. I think the first defense only gave up 13 points tonight. And, once they got closer, or gotten a score, they stiffened. So it was pretty good to see that. And our guys made some pretty good adjustments. We were able to play with them.
And, Coach, is this, in the time that you've been at Kent County, is this the best defense that you've had? Because in terms of consistency, it does seem like over the last three or four games that side of the ball has really started to pick it up. I know that was certainly a struggle last year and some previous years as well, where you were a very offensive-heavy team.
We definitely got some better defense players. The year that we beat out of this, that defense is pretty good, I felt like. We have some seniors, but we also have some pretty young guys playing. So it was just kind of, they're playing at a pretty good level right now. So they could do that and go into the playoffs. And I think we should be, going into the right state of mind.
Now, Marquand Green, you've got him playing quarterback still tonight. Did he play quarterback exclusively or was he mixed in there? I know he had another big game with three touchdown runs tonight.
Yeah, he was, I think he had like three touchdowns and threw a touchdown pass too. So he was playing quarterback for us tonight. Price is pretty beat up right now, so we're gonna let him heal up and ride Marquand right now.
And it just speaks to the talent that he has to be able to come in at quarterback. And as you talked about, run for three, but also pass for two. And you're right, I didn't mean to leave out the passing there. Unbelievable job that he's been able to do. And I know you don't like to single out a player, but he was the offensive player of the year or the co-offensive player of the year last year with your quarterback.
And, he's done a pretty good job. And he just, asked guys to step up whatever role they can. And this is another example of that. Shen kind of stepping up. In that role.
And to Kai Kalk with a pick six, a 58-yarder tonight.
Yeah, well, we had three interceptions tonight, and I think we forced another fumble. So we, defensively, I think we had, three or four turnovers and a pick six with a D.
I was saying this morning on my morning show down at the beach that, you know, for the average fan to take a look at a 1A versus a 3A, throw the records out for a second, you think, you know, 3A is going to have a major advantage and all that, that the chances of a 1A winning are pretty slim. But, you know, that's just not true. I mean, the depth may not be there, but in terms of talent coming in, you guys clearly have more talent. And when you've got a guy like Marquand Green, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it does. I mean, one thing that they clearly have is the advanced size. So that was, one of their big things. Like you said, that's a little bit different. But, fortunately, we have some pretty good players who were able to overcome that. And, they're having a tough year, but they definitely got some size and guys that they're from.
And Coach, I've been doing a lot of math, as I've been saying on the air here, a lot of math and a lot of scoreboard watching for the last several weeks right now. Coming into the game, you were a third seed in the 1A East. Bowe Manor played Perryville tonight, and Bowe Manor eked out a win 19-14 there. But you have to feel good. You distance yourself a little bit more points-wise from Perryville. Now, granted, Decatur doesn't have any bonus points, but they are 3A, so you get a few more points than what you normally would.
Right, yeah, and now it's time to start scoreboard watching, like you said, and hoping that, you know, tonight's game between Perryville and Bowe Manor is pretty interesting. So we're going to see how it plays out. I think we got a pretty good opportunity to maybe get some points coming up in the next couple of weeks and get a little healthy for us. And it's going to be interesting to see, with Perryville, Bowe Manor, and Colonel do the rest of the way.
Well, certainly. And you've got some big games coming up, including the one next week at home against North Carolina. Do you expect Tyson Johnson to be back for that one, or you just don't know?
I'm not sure. Probably not at this moment, so.
Are there any other major injuries that you have coming out of that Easton game or something tonight?
We're a little beat up. Just fix some bruises, so we'll see how the week goes, and we'll see what we got.
What kind of challenge does North Carolina bring to Wharton next week for you?
They're a big physical football team. They're playing really good football, and I think they play Parkside tonight.
I'm sorry?
Who did they play tonight?
Yeah, they defeated Parkside tonight. Yeah, 42-10.
Yeah, they're big, physical, and they can really run the football. So, and they play a very good defense. So it's going to be a big challenge.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the win. Long trip to Berlin. Are you staying in Ocean City this weekend?
You didn't hit me up.
So well, I thought you were going to hit me up. I mean, I wouldn't charge you too much now.
I don't think my wife would allow that.
I gotcha. The thing was, Coach, I'm not even home this weekend. You know, I'm here tonight. I've got Maryland football tomorrow in Baltimore, and then I've got the Ravens game on Sunday. So, you know, the place was vacant this weekend.
Man, I'd have been knocking at the door.
Well, Coach, congratulations to you, and best wishes next week, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, Mike, thanks for
All right, thanks so much. That's Coach Brendan Ironton joining us on the Coach's Line. As Kent County still very much in the thick of it, and barring a collapse, now they do have big game North Carolina. They've got Falston as well, a 2A team at the end of the year, but barring a collapse, Kent County should make it into the playoffs. They absolutely should. You know, Perryville's loss tonight, that was big. They'll still be there nipping at their heels. Colonel Richardson, we knew that they weren't likely to win the game tonight. They've got to win against the Virginia teams, and they've got to defeat Washington later in the year. And Washington plays Wicomico tomorrow. Those two are really on the outside looking in. But let's go out to the hotline. Overtime Live, is this David Inslee or another coach?
Man, you're good. You're good, Mike.
David, hello. How are you, sir? And which game? You were at the Kent County Stephen Decatur game tonight, right?
Yes, sir. I was in Berlin for the second straight day. I did Bayside Golf Championships yesterday.
That's right. Yeah, and they defeated Decatur, defeated Kent Island.
Yeah, by 15 strokes. And I took a break in the middle of the event and stepped down to Ocean City and watched all the classic cars come in for the car show.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Well, making a little time of it. Well, that's a good thing. So you got to see the Marquand Green show filling in at quarterback again tonight and accounted for 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. I tell you what, he would have had another 140 yards and 2 more scores if they hadn't had 2 TDs called back on penalties.
Well, the player, we've seen him to be an unbelievable player, so I don't shake my head too often with him because it's not as big a surprise, but that's certainly a compliment to him when I see these numbers coming across Twitter.
Right, and also I want to discuss something important regarding him.
Sure.
When I hear a rumor, good, bad, or indifferent, I try not to spread it. I like to think I don't. Mm-hmm. I try to immediately go to the source of the issue and find out what is the actual fact. I walked up to Marquand Green today because I had heard rumors. about his age, okay? And I asked him, I told him, look, I'm going to ask you a question. I want an exact, straight, honest answer. Tell me flat out, how old are you right now? He says, I'm 18. I said, okay, when's your birthday? He says, it's December 17th. So that's straight from Mark Long Green. He's 18 right now. I'd heard he was 19. Some smart, you know what, tried to tell me the other day, I think he's going to turn 20 around Christmas. No, he told me tonight he's 18. I'm going to take him at his word.
Okay. All right. I was not aware that that had popped up, but I appreciate you clarifying that.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of people have, had a bug in my ear about that, and, you know.
Well, my question is, why would that come out week six? If somebody's really bothered by that or thinks that's a possibility, why not try to dip that in the bud week one?
I don't know. For the same reason that Woodbridge didn't worry about Colonel allegedly having an ineligible player 10 years ago until they found out Colonel was going to make the playoffs. You know?
Yeah.
Some people just want to time it a certain way, you know? To make it a political analogy, in 2000, you know, suddenly 5 days before the election, it was revealed that George W. Bush had a DUI. It was from the 70s. It's not like it had just happened.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah, we got an October surprise tonight, by the way, but that's a different matter. We could save that for my talk show at the beach Monday.
Oh,
but
wow.
Moving on, though, so we pretty much knew Kent County was going to defeat Decatur. They did get a game of it in the first half, but as Coach talked about, they gave him some good field position, I guess, on some offensive fourth downs that they tried to go for.
Yeah, they had a big turnover on downs early in the game. Decatur... And this is something, this is one little thing I noticed that Stan Griffin does differently than Bobby Knox, and it's not a knock on either of them, it's just an observation. But if Bobby Knox won a coin toss, he would defer.
Mm-hmm.
Stan won the coin toss tonight, and they took the opening kickoff. They went downfield and scored, or they didn't score, but they pinned Kent County deep. Kent County turned it over on downs. Decatur scored on their next possession, 7-0, and they kicked a field goal. So late in the first quarter, Kent County, against a team that, I'll be honest with you, I thought they were going to run the clock on them. Kent County found themselves down 10-0, eight or so minutes into that game. So Decatur gave them all they wanted for the first half, but in the second half, you cannot arm tackle Mark Long Green and expect success. The only reason it wasn't 53-20 was because of a couple of holding penalties.
Well, and that scoring had come in differently on Twitter. I'd seen. I thought it was a field goal first, and then a touchdown. But no matter.
Yeah,
to your point, though, getting down 10-0 on the road like that, it's a tribute. But you know, talent takes over though in a game like that. And I was a little nervous, but not too nervous because I figured Kent County, their offense, and Marquand Green and some of the other guys they have there that they'll get the job done, and they did tonight, obviously.
Yeah. Now I may have been off in saying he would have had two more touchdowns. The first touchdown that Green had that was called back on a hold. Two plays later, Green actually hit Deshaun Lister for a 48-yard pass over the middle for a score. So they did get a score on that one drive.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one was, I think, the longest play of the night, and it got called back on a block at the back near midfield, and it was about, and all told, it was about a 50-yard, 6-point penalty.
As we move along around the rest of the Bayside, Kent Island a winner. That's no surprise tonight over Bennett, although that game in the first quarter was scoreless. But our game of the week, Queen Anne's over Easton, 26-20. You and I both picked Queen Anne's. Mr. WBOC, Mike Penchek, did not. But he's a rookie, and we're veterans, so that's why we got that one right. But, you know, you take a look at this game, and I don't know if you heard, late in the game, the refs screwed up and gave Easton one less down, and you know, your play calling is based on your downs to some extent. Thankfully, Easton made it on fourth down, and a tip pass ended up being intercepted at the end by Queen Anne's. But what a game. But thankfully, it wasn't a screw-up by the refs that caused Easton to lose.
Now, I'm going to say two things here. One, what Easton did on fourth down made the whole point moot. Two, it was actually fourth down. First down, offensive penalty, 1st and 15. They had a pass completion for several yards. Second down, they had a tipped pass that was called a completion for a couple more yards. That made it 3rd and 1. Then there was an incomplete pass. That made it 4th and 1. I don't understand why everyone got confused. What happened was the guy with the down box didn't check the thing after the second down tip pass. Now, if you ever talk to David Dodson, who filmed games for Jake Coleman, he was at the Snow Hill Dunbar game in 2005, and we had something way more messed up happen. It was really cold and really windy, and after a second down play by Snow Hill, the wind blew the down marker from second to third down, and they lost their third down legitimately in that game. Jeez. They went from second down to fourth down, and nobody knew what happened. And I remember for years wondering what had happened until Dave told me that he was at the game and saw it when it happened.
Jeez.
But tonight it was a legitimate fourth down, and like I said, Easton, to their credit, made a great play to convert it. And, you know, I had Queen Anne 24-21. Final was 26-20. I think you had something really close to that, too.
Well, I don't do scores. I just pick winners. So, but yeah. but kudos to you in getting that. Well, David, I think the big take from this game, though, and you credit Easton, they fought in this one. They had the early lead this one. They had the lead at halftime in this one. But my takeaway is, okay, Queen Anne's got thrown on a lot in this game. We knew that if there was one weak point, it was their secondary. But they're not going to face another passing team like this the rest of the year until playoff time. So going up against a North Carolina or Kent Island, they're just not going to face that kind of passing attack. So the fact that they escaped in this one, kudos to them. And I've got Queen Anne's 1 and Kent Island 2, but you call me wrong on that, whatever. But the bottom line is they will not see another passing attack like that the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, and realistically, it was a one play game either way. And had a couple of big moments where if they had not made one play, then, obviously the pendulum swings the other direction. So, like I said when I made my pick, I said I think Easton's going to lead for much of this game, but Queen Anne's going to come out on top at the end, possibly winning it in the final minute. They didn't win it the final minute, but that pick with a minute at, 108 left, definitely gave them the chance to kill the clock.
The other takeaway, I think after the last couple of weeks, Easton's defense, which had been an issue early in the season, now you could say, they played a solid game against Kent County last week. They played a solid game this week against Queen Anne's. They certainly, I don't think, have to worry about that side of the ball as much as maybe coming out of week one.
Right. I mean, the defense has definitely been dialed in a little more in the last couple of weeks. And didn't they score, was it a fumble that turned into a touchdown shortly thereafter and then a pick six last week?
Yes.
So, they're not just stopping on defense. They're making big plays that'll give you direct points as well.
Right, exactly. And for Easton, I mean, that the loss tonight hurts. They're going to be on the outside looking in with the Elkton win, and actually North Carolina may end up going from a third seed to a fourth seed with the bonus points with Elkton's win tonight over Hartford Tech. But that's just the way it goes. But again, the 2A East continues to be exciting, although Parkside, I think, pretty much they're done for unless they beat Kent Island and get a lot of help.
Parkside has a win out and get help scenario right now. It's a doomsday scenario. Easton is close to having something like that too. Easton can still get in, but they're going to have to beat one of the teams. Well, who's left? They've still got Kent Island, right? They'd have to beat Kent Island and Cambridge. Basically, win out, possibly get some help from somebody else to sneak in with an 8-2 record, but I really don't think an 8-2 record will get you in the playoffs this year in the 2A.
Which is crazy to think, but you're right. Yeah. Unless some things happen. Now, Cambridge game is a winnable game. That's a toss-up game, as I see it right now. But the Kent Island game, that would be an uphill battle. But that said, Easton's passing attack against Kent Island, I know they have a great defense, but that probably would be the best passing attack that Kent Island will have seen this year. So that is an advantage that they have in that one.
Yeah, definitely. Mason Ledford, I like the kid anyway, because he's a baseball player too, so I get to see him twice as much. And with an outfielder's got to have a little bit of an arm. So, he can sling it, and he's not afraid to take a hit. He knows, where to look for his hot for whoever might be open. And that's what you want out of a quarterback, and he's still only a junior, so they've got another year, I think, with him.
The other takeaway from this week I take a look at is the Bayside South. I know that we don't call it that anymore, but Parkside, I thought, had the best shot out of the South teams to possibly pull an upset to be competitive against some of the North teams this year, and unfortunately that just hasn't happened. And I know things are cyclical, but boy, oh boy, you just continue to scratch your head and say when, because Parkside's going to graduate a lot of players. I know Wicomico and Washington are two teams to watch next year, but I don't think even at their best next year that they're going to knock off a North team necessarily. You just wonder at what point is a South team or two, I guess let's just focus on one, going to be able to beat a North team. It's going to be a while now.
Yeah, it's not been happening a lot lately. And personally, I was joking with Tom Zimmer, the principal at Decatur tonight. I said, I don't think you want turf, because Pocomoke got a turf facility a few years ago, and they haven't had football since 1986. So Snow Hill got turf last year. They haven't won a football game. Now Decatur's taking it over. They may only get, you know, they may get Worcester County's only win this year by beating Snow Hill Week 10.
Right.
And I think they're on the on the list for the next turf upgrade because they're the last high school in Worcester County with an athletic facility. So I told him, I said, don't get turf. Don't get turf. It's going to kill your football.
Well, I tell you, you feel because Decatur, they've really been on hard times. Last year, it was the injury bug. They were like the Baltimore Ravens. The year before that, we knew it was a rebuilding year. The year before that was supposed to be a rebuilding year, but they go to the playoffs. They lose to Westlake round one, which they could have won. That game was 14-6. But, boy, they've really fought on hard times. You may have to go to Berlin to check out the yearbooks because has Steve Decatur ever gone 1-9 in the last 30 years? And I know Bob Knox isn't officially coaching the team this year, but still,
right.
You go back to 1983. Have they ever gone 1-9? I'm going to guess that didn't happen.
I'm going to guess it hasn't, but I did run into one of the guys on the chain gang for Decatur named Mike. I forget his last name. We're not on a last name basis. He was telling me he's a Queens of 73 Decatur grad, and that year he knows they were 0-9-1.
Okay.
So,
but yeah, that predates though Coach Knox though. Yeah.
That's 10 years before Bob. You know, before he built the house in Ocean Pines or wherever it is he's living. And of course, while I've got Bob on my mind and we're talking about Decatur, I want to give you guys a link to look at right now: GoFundMe.com/ForEli. ForEli. Bob's grandson, as I mentioned in the paper this week, once the family made it public, I figured it was okay to start discussing it.
Sure.
Their two-year-old has a rare cancer of the brain called ATRT. He has two tumors. One's been removed. He just took a heavy dose of chemo. He's about to take another. If anybody out there listening has ever dealt with any cancer care bills, they are astronomical. GoFundMe.com/ForEli. Go on there and donate. They're trying to raise $15,000, guys, but let's be honest. $15,000 can be a drop in the bucket when you're fighting cancer. So, if you got a few bucks, please throw it in the kitty for Bob Knox's daughter and her son. They live out in Frederick. The kid's adorable. He's a football and basketball fanatic. And, it rips my heart up to hear about stuff like that. And it was an open secret in the sports writing community around here.
Right, we knew about it, yeah.
We couldn't discuss it, but I felt like, once the family made it known,
sure,
that it was okay to start trying to help. And because, let's be honest, Mike, nobody with a soul wants to break that story without the family's blessing.
Oh, yeah, no, that goes without saying. But, yeah, we posted the article on our Facebook page a couple of days ago on Overtime Live that you did, so, which is great. And I know you had an article this morning as well. So.
Yeah, and I just if anybody can, like I said, GoFundMe.com/ForEli, ForEli, $5, $10, whatever you can spare, I'm trying to get the word out as much as I can, and it would be awful, no matter the outcome with this little guy, for them to be crippled with financial obligations as a result afterward.
Yeah, I agree. Well, David, we're going to end it on that note. But as always, always good to get your analysis and your take. And of course, look for your articles in the Star Democrat and from the Bleachers. And we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Good talking to you.
All right. You too. We appreciate it. Always a pleasure. David Inslee joining us from the Star Democrat as he was out at the Kent County Stephen Decatur game. All right. We got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get a look at your Pratt & Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard, and then we'll come back and wrap things up here before the top of the hour. It's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net.
Football season is here, and Kerry-O, where do you go for your tailgating supplies?
The only place to go, Krabby Grawls.
With locations in St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge.
We've got all your tailgating needs, Mark Potter, from Bloody Mary mixes to gourmet mustards, hot sauces, and barbecue sauces.
Everything you need to slap on your meat available at Krabby Grawls.
Don't forget your bacon ketchup and your hoodies.
It's all available at Krabby Grawls, St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge, and available online at KrabbyGraw.com.
Have a child that needs driver's ed? Maybe you need to attend the Driver's Improvement or Point System Conference class. In either case, you want to make the right choice by calling Bayside Driving School. Bayside Driving School has been locally owned and operated since 1982 and has the most experienced instructors. Driver's Ed classes start monthly in Talbot, Queen Anne, Caroline, and Dorchester. So call to reserve your spot today. For more information, call Bayside Driving School at 410-822-4411 or visit them on the web at baysidedriving.net. Make the right choice. Go Bayside!
Harrison's Chesapeake House on Tilghman Island invites you to spend a Friday night enjoying their all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet for just $24.99. Enjoy shrimp eight different ways, plus barbecue ribs, their famous fried chicken, hush puppies, and all of the veggies. Buddy Harrison serves up the prime rib and seafood buffet every Saturday night. Spend the day and night at Harrison's on the water on Tilghman Island. For great food, fishing trips, and fun, head to Harrison's Chesapeake House. Check them out online at ChesapeakeHouse.com.
Matt, look out for that skunk!
I didn't even see that until you said something.
Here, try these.
What a difference. No glare.
That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415. Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has seven big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package, too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
We're talking with physical therapist Rick Perrette from Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates in the Adirondack Medical Center in Kent Island. Tell me a little bit about what services you guys provide.
We're an office that provides occupational, speech, physical therapy. We have an athletic trainer and a wellness program. We provide these services for pediatrics and for adults.
So let's say I'm having some neck or back pain. How do I end up in your office?
A lot of insurance companies require referrals from your primary care or doctors, but with Maryland law, we can see you directly. Best way is to call our office at 410-604-2988. And we can get you the answer.
That's Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates with a state-of-the-art facility in the AAMC building just off Route 50 in Kent Island. Here's what your friends and neighbors are saying about Higginbottom Orthodontics.
The doctors and their staff are amazing, always pleasant and professional, and explain everything thoroughly to my children. It's obvious that they genuinely care about their patients.
At Higginbottom Orthodontics, we believe that every day is something to smile about. Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Higginbottom, and along with my dad, Dr. Mark Higginbottom, and my brother, Dr. Kyle Higginbottom, we invite you to choose us first for all of your orthodontic needs. We have over 50 years of experience in treating your family like our family, with braces, clear braces, and Invisalign services for all ages. Schedule your free initial consultation today. Flexible payment options are available, and to find out more about our office, please visit us online at HigginbottomOrthodontics.com or call our office at 410-822-3626 and see how we can help you smile with style.
Tune in every week of the regular season to Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus Easton Inn & Suites, to see who is chosen as the Overtime Live Carpool Car Wash Coach of the Week. That coach will receive a free car wash, courtesy of the Carpool in Easton and Salisbury. It's Overtime Live with Mike Bradley, the only show on the shore covering high school football in the Bayside Conference. Here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 10:49 on the OTL. Taking a look at your Perrette & Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard. Perrette & Moy Therapy, providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. And speaking of Kent Island, the Buccaneers 35-0 winners over J.M. Bennett. They improved to 6-0. Bennett drops to 3-3. Queen Anne's over Easton 26-20 in a thriller. Our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week. Queen Anne's now 5-1. Easton drops to 4-2. North Carolina improves to 5-1. 42-10 winners over Parkside, who drops to 3-3. And essentially are out of the playoffs unless they went out and get some help. K Cambridge, 41-6 winners over Colonel Richardson. Cambridge improving to 5-1. Colonel Richardson dropping to 2-4. Haven't talked to Cambridge a lot. I know it's late. I dropped a call to head coach Jay Coleman. I'm not sure we'll be able to catch up with him this week. Certainly we will next week because he's a part of our Overtime Live Game of the Week as Cambridge visits Kent Island in Stevensville. But in the 1A East, they've got the lead there points-wise. They're the number one seed. They had a 6-point lead over Bow Manor coming in. Bow Manor defeated Perryville tonight, 19-14. Cambridge just went over Colonel. So they don't get as many bonus points as Bow Manor will over Perryville. Bow Manor gets 3 bonus points. Cambridge gets just 1.8 bonus points. So we'll see how things shake out. But Cambridge should still, I believe, have the lead, although it could be slimmer potentially when the points come out on Tuesday. But Cambridge, for the most part, does control their own destiny. They keep winning, they'll be good. But obviously next week, that Kent Island matchup, going to be a tough one on the road. Kent County, 39-20 winners over Stephen Decatur. Kent County improving to 3-3. Decatur dropping to 0-6 on the year. And that wide-open 1A, as we talked about, that keeps Kent County in good shape there with Perryville losing tonight to Bow Manor. So Perryville a little less nipping at their heels, if you will, but not by much. Kent County came in with just a .20 advantage. Let's go on to the coaches' line. I think this is head coach Jay Coleman. Is that you, Coach?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Cambridge 41-6 winners over Colonel Richardson. And, Coach, you were the only team but last Friday to go actually play a game with all the weather, and you had to go down to the eastern shore of Virginia, and you took care of business. And tonight against Colonel Richardson, much the same. And, boy, Trey Lake is having a year for you guys.
Yeah, he's doing an outstanding job. You know, a lot of hard work just paying off for the kid. And, you know, if you talk to him, he's going to credit it all to the offensive line, who's done an outstanding job all season long, too. And, you know, we've been fortunate.
And, Coach, what is it about him that makes him so successful?
He's probably the hardest working player I've ever coached. I mean, I think that's what makes him special, is all season and in-season work habits are just, you know, tremendous. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I've seen a lot more talented guys, but I haven't seen anybody that works harder than him and maximizes his individual talent. So I think that's what makes him special.
And, Coach, you've guys, again, multiple guys that contribute. I mean, Trey Lake has had a great year, but also you got C.J. Brummel and Kobe Roark and Taj Moloch and multiple guys to go to. But that's always been the case with Cambridge, a lot of different guys you could go to there.
Yeah, you know, fortunately we got a lot of depth, and, you know, our system is predicated on, you know, being able to get, you know, all 6 of our skilled players the ball, and, you know, those guys do a good job. You know, they come up, you know, through our system, and, you know, they got a lot of experience. And, you know, when they get their opportunities at the varsity level, they've been taking advantage of it.
Now, Colonel Richardson coming in, it's been talked about as having a pretty good front 7, athletic and fast. Were you guys able to get to the edges? Did you do your damage in between the tackles? How were you attacking them tonight?
I think we're pretty balanced. They absolutely have I think more so than anything, I mean, they're just really, really physical at the point of attack. You know, those guys obviously, have done a great job in the weight room, and the players are very, very strong and very, very physical. And, I think that's really, it's very, very tough to kind of run between the tackles on those guys. And, fortunately tonight we were able to kind of keep them off balance a little bit. And I felt like that's where our success was, just keeping them off balance.
Eric Joseph, their running back, had a lot of success last week in their win over Arcadia. He's a very good back. Obviously, you guys were at least able to contain him tonight, having given up just 6 points in the game. But what enabled you to do that defensively?
I mean, really, we've kind of started slow on defense the last couple weeks. And I felt like, we kind of changed a couple things that we did in practice. I felt like our focus was tremendous. Something we talked about is making sure that we get off to a fast start. And, we were fortunate enough to turn them over on downs right off of the bat, and, just kind of got the ball rolling on offense. And, with their ball control offense, you know, we were able to kind of get out in front of them quickly and kind of get them doing some things that, you know, maybe they're not more comfortable doing, as far as throwing the ball and stuff. I don't know how many times they've thrown you know, 13 passes, you know, in the game and whatnot. But we were able to jump on top of them and just very, very stout on defense right off of the bat. And, you know, I think that's kind of where the game kind of turned in our favor. But, you know, they're a really, really solid, you know, team. And, you know, maybe with a little bit of help, they can get themselves, you know, into the playoffs, and we might see them again. You know, I know those guys do a great job over there coaching, and, you know, I wish them all the best. I mean, they were tough. They were physical. But I think, you know, tonight I think they had three turnovers, and we got all three of them. I think that was really the difference in the game.
And that has been a problem for them is turnovers and mistakes this year, not quite the offense that they had last year. But you're right, forcing them to pass, that certainly gets them into a or gets them out of their comfort zone, that is. Coach, I mean, 5-1 this year. I mean, Cambridge, again, they just reload. You guys just reload every year. It's a tribute to the staff and the players. 5-1, you can't do a whole lot better than that. But assess your team so far. Are they where you want them to be right now, expected them to be? Have they exceeded expectations? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, again, if you ask me, you know, hey, would you take being 5-1? I would absolutely take it. As far as are we where we want to be? Not yet. You know, we have big goals, and you know, and the season's a grind. You know, we've been fortunate for a better part of the season to stay real healthy and. You know, hopefully we'll continue that. And, you know, but, you know, we're as a coach, you know, being 5-1 and being in the playoff hunt, you know, we're definitely in a nice situation. And I know a lot of coaches would love to be where we're at right now. You know, but I think we're far from, you know, reaching our potential yet. There's a lot of things that we can improve on. And, you know, that's kind of our focus.
Yeah, and a tough physical game on the road originally against North Carolina. Gave them a heck of a contest. It was a heck of a game, a good balanced game back and forth. All three phases got involved really for both teams. You go on the road to Stevensville next week. That'll be our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week. What challenges do the Buccaneers present? Obviously, they're the lone undefeated team of the Bayside, so they've had some success, and I know their defense is the best of the Bayside this year so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of know what they're good at. And, you know, they're really good at everything. I mean, they're good on special teams. You know, offensively, they play a really physical style. Defensively, they just do a tremendous job. And, you know, they give you multiple looks. And, you know, their players have high football IQs. And, you know, it's going to be a very tough environment going up there to Kent Island. And, you know, we're excited about the opportunity to go into North Carolina, you know, early in the season and go into Kent Island, you know, and this part of the season. And, you know, obviously we know what type of team they're an undefeated team, and, you know, they got big goals, and, you know, it's just one of those things. It's going to be a tremendous challenge, and that's what, you know, we're looking forward to it.
Obviously, that North Carolina game was a litmus test playing the Bulldogs. Been a really good program the last couple of years. Obviously, last year they had a huge run and came up just a little bit short from going to the state finals. But you guys came out of that, obviously, holding your heads high. So that game could get you ready for a game like Kent Island this or next Friday, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, last year we played, played North Carolina pretty tough. And, you know, it was a very good game, and they ended up being, you know, undefeated. But, you know, we faced Kent Island, and we didn't play very, very well. And, you know, certainly that's a credit to them. They came out and kind of kicked our butts. And, you know, that's something that we gotta look at. And, you know, we got to try to get ourselves in a better situation this year. You know, we don't want to go to Kent Island and embarrass ourselves. We want to go up there and play well and hopefully give ourselves an opportunity to win.
And obviously with Bone Manor winning tonight, and I know you've got a 6-point advantage on them right now, and we'll see how the points all play out next week. It might be a little bit tighter when they come out on Tuesday, but obviously that's a little more emphasis because you don't want to come out of that game losing and Bone Manor winning, because obviously if you could maintain that number one seed, you're in good shape, though, obviously, for home game in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
And second round, for that matter.
Yeah, well, if you win. In the 2A East, you know, it looks like there's going to be a majority of Bayside teams, and you know, it's important to be a top seed in your region, you know, because you're going to have you're going to have the refs that you normally have that you're kind of accustomed to, and And, you know, say what you will, but everybody kind of officiates a little bit differently from conference to conference. And, you know, it's extremely important to get that home field advantage in the region, as we found out last year when we went to Havre de Grace. And, you know, it's just a little bit different officiating. And, you know, you don't want to put yourself in that position, so you got to take care of business in the regular season so you get those high seeds.
Coach, we appreciate your time. I know it's a late hour, and best wishes. Mark will be talking to you on the field next week, and then we'll talk over the phone in a couple of weeks. But as always, appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, take care. Head Coach Jay Coleman of the Cambridge South Dorchester Vikings, now 5-1 on the season. All right, we are back to wrap things up next, 11 o'clock straight up on the Midshore and worldwide. Keep it here.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's Easton, Maryland's only high school football show on game night, is Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx-FM.
Fall savings at Ben Franklin Crafts. Save 33% off all fall bushes, fall ribbon bolts, Creativity for Kids box kits, and Winsor & Newton Artist Oils. Save 40% off all fall scarecrows, Gamblin Artist Oils, and Sweet Beads Charms. Save 50% off all custom framing orders. Create, embellish, just add imagination. Ben Franklin Crafts, Easton Plaza, Marlboro Road, Easton. Chin Check Sports Locker is the place to go for all of your local sports team spirit wear. Located at the Tread Avon Square on Marlboro Road, Chin Check Sports Locker offers custom-made spirit wear using sublimation, screen printing, and embroidery. Need team uniforms or sports equipment? Chin Check Sports Locker now carries Under Armour. Chin Check Sports Locker is also your one-stop shop for lacrosse gear. And Chin Check Sports Locker isn't just for sports teams. Get that team spirit for your business, too. Check out Chin Check Sports SportsLocker.com or find them on Facebook. To place your orders, call Chin Check Sports Locker at 443-239-0178. Chin Check Sports Locker, now located at the Tread Avon Square by Acme on Marlboro Road in Easton.
Attention contractors, Supplies Unlimited of Delmarva and Baltimore can provide you with a full line of gypsum products and accessories for your residential and commercial projects. So whether you need wallboard, sheathing, metal framing, or insulation, Supplies Unlimited is the place for you. Need doors or frames? Yes, they do those too. Supplies Unlimited and Baltimore Door and Frame have been serving Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware for over 30 years. Prompt delivery is available, so don't delay and place your next order with Supplies Unlimited and Baltimore Door and Frame. Call 1-800-938-2294 or visit SuppliesUnlimitedInc.com. Easton Cycle and Sport features more than just two wheels. Paddleboarding is the new craze, and Easton Cycle and Sport has just what you're looking for. Want to relax on the water? Easton Cycle and Sport also has canoes and kayaks. Make Easton Cycle and Sport your destination for cycling, paddling, and lacrosse. Stop by and check the great selection at 723 Goldsboro Street in Easton or call 410-822-7433.
Sport Clips, America's haircut place for men and boys, boldly asks, who invented the demolition derby? Man, yes, guys live their life a little differently. At Sport Clips, guys find sports on TV, a relaxing neck and shoulder massage, our legendary hot steam towel, and a haircut that always looks great. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, with locations in Easton, Kent Island, Salisbury, and coming soon to Cambridge. Visit sportclips.com.
The Edge Training Academy is your one-stop shop for all your training goals. Whether you're looking to improve the way you feel, to improving your on-field performance, the Edge Training Academy is the place for you. What can the Edge do for you? Here are what some of our clients are saying.
The Edge has definitely made me a stronger, faster, and smarter athlete.
Developed me into an athlete like no other.
It's just created monumental change in not only my physical play, but my attitude as well.
The Edge Training Academy is located at 220 Law Canoe Circle in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park in Stevensville. For more information, check us out online at theedgetrainingacademy.com or call us at 443-249-3133.
On your own, you have limits, and Coach Willie and his staff push you well beyond those to let you reach new heights that you didn't even know you were capable of.
The Edge Training Academy, where passion meets performance.
Serving Talbot, Dorchester, Caroline, and Queen Anne's counties since 1919, Mensa Petroleum offers service contracts and 24-hour emergency service for all fuel oil customers and price cap protection for budget plan customers. Get peace of mind by talking with one of the Oil Heat representatives, eager to respond to all of your heating and air conditioning needs. Mensa Petroleum, now with even better service than before. Ready, willing, and able to service you. Call Mensa Petroleum at 410-822-4335. That's 410-822-4335.
Can't get us on the radio at 94.3 Winx FM? Then find the link on winxfm.com or sfmsports.net and listen live thanks to worldwide streaming by SFM Sports. It's Overtime Live with analysis, interviews, and predictions covering high school football in the Bayside Conference like none other here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 11:05, put the wraps to things here for week number six. And tonight, another great game of the week. Queen Anne's at Easton. Queen Anne's getting the win at home, 26-20. As I made mention, just some takeaways quickly as we wrap things up this week from that game. Queen Anne's escaping a team that they're not going to see again style-wise in terms of a passing game like that for the rest of the regular season. Playoffs, different story. But regular season, they're not going to see that out of North Carolina or Kent Island. Now, maybe those teams, Kent Island, maybe a little bit. Maybe they'll try to spread Queen Anne's out and do that a little bit. I don't think, though, that they're going to have the success that that Easton did. Queen Anne's tonight, second half, they got back to the running game. They ran a couple of plays. They got away from throwing the ball as much as they did. And I'm kind of surprised they came out throwing the ball as much as they did. I thought it would be a more balanced approach. I commend head coach Donnie Grave for allowing Mike D'Angelo to show off his arm, if you will. If he's got one, well, why not? You want to have a balanced offense. You don't want to be an offense where teams can key on you. But I think that a more balanced approach is needed. And, look, Easton came after him a lot, but you've got to have answers for that. If teams blitz you in the passing game, you've got to have answers. You've either got to have, you know, adjustments at the line. You've got to have built-in short passes, whatever it may be, depending on how the offense is designed. You got to do that. So Queen Anne's needs to work on that. I'm not saying they don't, but it didn't show tonight. But that said, they get the job done. In the second half, though, you could tell they decided to bring in the reins of the passing game and go with the run. And it worked for them. It worked for them well. I just hope they don't get away from doing some things that they did in the air, because that will help them later in the year when they play teams that aren't used to that. In most of the Bayside, not all, but most of them, and the playoffs as well to some extent. Although obviously the further you go, you get teams that are balanced, but some aren't. Some stick to their bread and butter, and they get it done all the way. It just depends. Anyway. So that's that with Easton. Look, they're still alive. They're on the outside looking in for playoffs, but their road becomes tougher tonight as well, though. They know that. It becomes tougher. So we shall see. Silver Oak, and then they've got a big game after that against, Kent Island, I think it is. I'll have to take a look at the schedule with that. Other takeaways, though, from tonight. No surprise in North Carolina defeating Parkside. Yeah, I know they matched up well, and Parkside plays them tough, but I just felt like North Carolina's defense was that much more better and obviously showed tonight in that one. Parkside, for all intents and purposes, their playoff chances are done. When the South is going to be competitive against the North again, who knows? Kent Island winning over J.M. Bennett tight early on, but they get it done 35-0. The defense, again, a phenomenal job. The offense still not where head coach Damian Ferragamo wants it to be, but that's saying something given they're 6-0. But kudos to them, the lone undefeated team in the Bayside. Cambridge, they keep rolling tight with Bo Matter in the 1A East, and they want to maintain that number one seed. They'll have a tough one next week on the road against Kent Island. And maybe they'll try to throw the ball a little bit more than what they normally would. We'll have to see. Kent County winners tonight, bouncing back off the Easton loss, 39-20. And think if they had defeated Easton, how interesting that would have been last week. You'd be looking at a much different situation with them and maybe pushing a little bit more on Cambridge, who they did lose to earlier this year, though. But still, they're alive and well in that third seed. But with the Bow Matter win and the Perryville loss, gives them some breathing room. Snow Hill, winless still, unfortunately, losers to Nandua. No surprise there. Decatur, by the way, 0-6. I wonder the last time that Worcester County's had, could end up having, between the two teams, just one win. Because those two play each other at the end of the year, rivalry week. We'll see. So the 2A East continues to be exciting. That's for sure. Can't wait till Tuesday. We'll see what the points say. And don't forget, I'll have my power poll coming out either Sunday or Monday. It depends on when Steve publishes it at sfmsports.net. So it'll either be Sunday or Monday, or what we learned segment will be out probably on Tuesday. But the points come out Tuesday. We'll post them. We'll post the top 25 Maryland State rankings as well. Will Ken Eiley get some love with votes at 6-0? We'll see. We'll see. So Queen Anne's Easton, best game of the week, and we had it right here. Have yourself a great and safe weekend. Don't forget, check us out on Facebook. Like us at Overtime Live. OvertimeLive.net on the web. I want to thank Steve and the gang at SFM Sports. And streaming us at SFMSports.net. Download the mobile app, by the way. You can get to our content that way as well. Thank all the coaches, of course, the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus Easton at its suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. We're back next week. Game of the week, Kent Island hosting Cambridge. 6-0 Kent Island against 5-1 Cambridge. Pre-game at 6:45 with a kickoff at 7 o'clock with Mark Potter and the coach, Dale B. Crabb. Have a great and safe weekend, folks, and we'll catch you next week on the OTL right here at 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.